What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a bunch of comics that have come out this week, and we review them for your listening pleasure. Pete, are you pleasured right now?
I'm weirded out because you guys have switched positions.
Yeah, that's a good thing to talk about. Yeah, that's a good note. Yeah. That's just for all you two listeners out there. Subtle change in the seating arrangement.
We should mention that.
We're going to tweet about it. It's going to change up the whole dynamic.
Well, everybody knows as they're listening to the podcast, Pete sits at due north. Usually, I am to the east and you're to the west.
That's true. Yeah. But here I am on the east side feeling weird.
And I'm southwest right now, I'm getting some of those caliente flavors.
Oh, that's nice. Tex-Mex over here.
Listen, this is your fault. You brought it up.
The chowder over here is great in the east.
Yeah. Aye, aye, aye.
That's not cool.
Let's jump into it. Talk about Plunge number one from DC Comics / Hill House by Joe Hill and Stuart Immonen. This is the latest in Joe Hill's horror line. He has taken on this one himself, and this is a bit of old undersea horror as a weird ship rises up out of the sea and some creepy things happen.
I mean, that basically doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Alex's character real.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Hire me.
This is fun.
This Joe Hill guy is good, man. You should check out his works.
His great works. Gaze upon my works. This feels a little bit like Armageddon, one of my favorite movies.
Whoa. It doesn't start off with somebody hitting golf balls.
The way that they break out the characters where they're like, you're the only one that can do this crazy mission. And he's like, I'm a shithead. Here's a bunch of dildos, which is basically the same thing as being a roughneck oil driller.
Bruce Willis in Armageddon, he's hitting golf balls.
He's not throwing dildos at people.
Yeah, I know, but he's a roughneck oil driller is what I was saying.
Golf balls are the dildos of the sea.
Yeah. Nice. That's where the sport originally came from. In Scotland, it was about sex.
What?
Why do you think there's holes in the ground in golf everywhere?
Oh, come on, man. Don't make golf weird.
Yes.
Don't make golf weird.
Wow. Not the one sacred thing for Pete. All he has left is
to your
golf.
Point, Justin, this does
yeah,
feel...
Yeah, to Justin's point.
To his point. This does feel like much more of the macho big action movie from Joe than a lot of his other work, which is creepier. I do wonder, though, based on what happens at the end, and I won't spoil it, whether it is going to tie into some of his other work.
Is there a line-wide crossover element here?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
This feels more like sci-fi horror as opposed to magical or otherworldly horror.
Right.
But you don't know yet.
Right.
I know.
We don't know anything. What did you think about this book, Pete?
Well, I love the art. This is kind of like a setup issue as far as like we don't really get into the action.
Because it's the beginning.
Sure.
Like anything.
Well, it doesn't give you the flash ahead and then flashbacks to 14 days before.
Yeah.
You know, so we're building up to it. And I think it does a good job of kind of like setting up the world. And I'm excited that I wasn't too scared yet.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get there, I'm sure.
You're going to be scared.
I really like this a lot. I like where it ended up. I liked it throughout. I think there's so many elements going on here. If anything, it feels like, what was that Scott Snyder horror book that he did with Jock?
Witches?
No, not witches. There was a deep
vampire
sea.
One?
No, there was a deep sea. It's American Vampire. You know what? Doesn't matter. It's fine. It's like The Abyss.
Yes.
Detective Comics was legitimately
like The Abyss.
Yes.
Detective Comics.
Detective Comics. Yes, the one with Batman. That's what I was thinking about. Anyway, this is great. If you're looking for a new horror title, definitely pick it up.
This book is a hole in one.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm talking about.
And now here's a hole in two. Bloodshot number O, I think.
Zero. It's Bloodshot. Zero.
Typo. Negative. Bloodshot.
Foot Valiant. This is written by Tim Seeley. Art by Mark Lazing, and this is, as you can imagine, going back before Tim Seeley's current Bloodshot series, which has been hardcore action throughout, provides a bit of connective fiber between what had happened with Bloodshot previously, that completely threw me. Anyway, this one leads
because it's very stupid. It's like a stupid grenade. He throws it into a room and it ruins everything.
If you want your conversational topics brought to a complete halt, hire Pete LePage now.
That's right.
Yeah, I like this book. Like the rest of Tim Seeley's run, it's just a lot of action, and I think that's super fun.
What I liked is at the end, the guy realized he was a real dick when people needed help around him, you know?
Why are you looking at Justin when you say that?
he always makes hard eye contact with me. Another behind-the-scenes comic book club. He can't take his eyes off mine. Wait. And whenever we're recording our podcast.
That's not true, man.
What's that?
You're looking right at me directly at him right now.
Now, Pete, this is an issue zero, which you hate.
I hate issue
it's
zero.
Not a, you consider zero not a real number.
Right.
Was it? Did it bother you?
It sure did. Thanks for bringing that up, man.
Nice.
I was trying to maybe not just one time not talk about that part, but cool.
No, man, we got like three bits and we use them all the time.
Yeah, I know that about us.
I feel like Bloodshot, though, outside of the number zero, appeals to you a lot because he's like Wolverine meets the Punisher.
Kind of, yeah. But it's kind of a good description.
Are you looking forward to the movie, Pete? They plug it on the cover, which is fun. That's a lot of fun.
That's where you plug stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I got excited, actually, for Valiant being like, oh, you get to do the thing.
Yeah.
On the cover.
And honestly, I think this whole the new Bloodshot thing, it feels all right. It feels like it's moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad he realized he was an asshole. It was bothering me.
But wait, are you excited for the movie, Pete?
I don't know if I'm excited for the movie. I'm going to see it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, great.
It's just another part of the unending drudgery of life.
Well, I mean, there are some that you, like, you care so much about the characters that you are nervously excited.
Yeah.
For this, I'm like, I like Bloodshot. I'll go check this out, but I'm not like, oh, God, they better get this right. I don't care enough.
When do you
to-
have any pure excitement? What's exciting for Pete LePage left in the in life? Because we got you said you're nervously excited for things you like and sort of bored excited about things you only medium like. What's pure excitement?
Yeah, real quick, talk about how age flattens things out. anyway, we should probably move on and talk about something I'm sure you are excited about, Pete. Wolverine, number one from Marvel Comics, written by Benjamin Percy and art by Adam Kubert. He actually just did the second story. I should have written down who did the first story. Maybe I'll look it up, or you want to look it up?
Yeah, I can look it up.
Okay, thanks.
This story is sort of like Wolverine meets himself.
Wait, what?
It's like
Wolverine meets
Wolverine kind of wakes up and he's like, oh, God. I've killed a bunch of people again.
Yeah. So there's two stories in here, and it's almost like two distinct comic books, though I wonder if they are going to come together at all. The first story is, as mentioned, Wolverine wakes up in a snowy wasteland. The rest of the X-Men are dead. He's missing most of his skin. And we flash back one of Pete's other favorite things to show how he got to that point. They're on the trail of a new drug taken from Kakoa called pollen that humans are using.
Gotta get that pollen.
Bunch of things happen on the way.
That keeps life from evening out.
loop it back to what we saw at the beginning. And then the second story is Wolverine versus vampires, tying into the overall vampire arc that's going on in the Marvel Universe right now. Pete, number one Wolverine fan, what'd you think about this book?
Well, I mean, Wolverine has been controlled before and killed his team before, so this start doesn't get me super pumped. I did like the vampire stuff. I like Wolverine messing up a bunch of vampires. That's always fun because then there's a chance maybe Blade will show up.
What a crazy review.
And as we all know, Blade started the Marvel franchise that is now this booming studio thing. It wouldn't have happened without Blade.
It's just crazy to me that Wolverine, I think Wolverine and Punisher are your favorite characters, but your main thing is like, I hope we can get Blade, though.
Yeah.
That's like going and being like, ooh, I'm really excited about this pizza. Hope tacos show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hope a meatball lands in my mouth. The artist on the first story is Victor Bogdanovich.
There we go. What did you think about this one, Justin?
I like this. This made me think a lot about the X-Men franchise as a whole. There's a scene in here where Jean Grey is on the team when they're going into this mission where we find out later that she's dead, but no one's ever dead in the X-Men universe anymore. But she's holding Wolverine's hand. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so interesting. This X-Men universe that we've all been in on is so interesting, so detail-rich, exciting, but we're not in any characters' heads, really.
Yeah.
You don't, it's all observation. And I'm so curious to get to the emotional interior of these characters. I'm so surprised that it hasn't gotten there yet. We get a little bit of Wolverine's interior here, but him holding hands with Jean Grey made me think, oh, wait, what's going on with the three of them living in a house on the moon?
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing? Yeah. Are they all thruffling?
I gotta say, I liked both of these stories, but I was a little disappointed that this first issue wasn't just Wolverine solo. Like, I think,
because when you see Wolverine number one, that's what you think you're gonna get.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt instead like X-Force 0.5 or something like that, you know? And I think that's what you're getting to. The status quo changes in a pretty big way for Wolverine by the end of the issue. So I think we are setting up ongoing what is going to happen with Wolverine solo adventures. But I don't know. To your point, I wanted to see, like, there's a thing that happens, I believe, towards the beginning of the first story where Wolverine is talking to Kitty, and Kitty's like, "You're happy. That's weird."
Yeah. I love that scene.
That is great. That's what I wish we hooked
into. And he was playing hide and go seek with kids. I mean, that's adorable.
Well, that's what
and
I wanted I to hook into.
That reminded me of when Wolverine ran the X-Men, ran the school. Like,
that
I
was
like,
great.
That stuff was fun. And there's a lot of great stuff to like here, but I think there's just this line-wide thing of not being able to be in the characters' heads as much, and I want to get to that.
I think
I also loved in the second story, Omega Red and Wolverine being like, fuck this guy, and now he's having to solve this sort of mystery.
I do like that in the second story. I also think it's just going to be Wolverine has a pollen problem because he woke up, doesn't know what's going on. You know, there's a bunch
like
of
bad
pollen.
Allergies. He's gonna have bad
pollen's
allergies.
Missing. It's been missing for a little while, and Wolverine's having some spots, not remembering stuff. You know,
I mean, we'll see what happens. I think it's a good start. It's obviously a beautifully drawn book.
Yes,
so that's nice. But I don't know. I want a little more in the second issue focused on Wolverine. Personally, let's move on to Deadly Class number 43 from Image Comics, written by Rick Remender and art by Wes Craig. So I feel like I must have missed an issue here.
It definitely felt that way. Yes. I don't think I missed an issue, but I was like, "Whoo, what's this?"
Yeah,
but this is great. We're finally moving things in the right direction because
Sex in the Woods.
Well. You know,
that's what I call pitching from the rough.
I was like, wait, are these two? He's still with Maria? That's not right. He should be with Sia.
Sia.
Sorry. So
Sia.
I'm glad that this is hopefully moving towards that direction. But every time I pick up one of these books, I forget about how amazing the art is.
The art is truly stunning. So specific, so unique, and just so fluid with
it's
all
worth,
and there's a ton
it's
of action
worth it
here,
alone.
A ton of different panels.
So I like this just fine, and it's crazy.
Just fine?
Well, hold on. It's crazy and just brutal throughout.
Yeah.
The whole gang is off taking a trip into the woods. They're at a cabin for a weekend of
into
drinking.
The woods.
Yeah, they're doing a regional production of Into the Woods. And this is the second act.
What's with
when
you?
Things go very badly.
Yes, the baker and his wife are really got it mixed up again.
There are big, tall, terrible giants in the sky.
Okay, all right. But
we're going to get there. Comic Book Club, the musical, buddy.
No.
Remember, the music's very important to this comic, as we see in this issue, which you could always song.
I'm never as into this comic book when they're away from the school. And when they reset after the series closed up, the TV series closed up, and went back to the school with this new status quo.
Yeah.
I loved it.
But come on, like, that was so cool. He walks outside and there's a bonfire, and you think, oh, it's a normal bonfire, but no, it's Deadly Class, so there's somebody burning.
It's a human bonfire.
Yeah, it's a human bonfire. And again, it's great. I enjoy this book. But it loses something outside of the class atmosphere. To me,
For saying that.
To me, it just becomes assassins killing assassins, and that's it. And that gets away from the concept of the book.
I actually am going to disagree with you. I like when they get out from the school a little bit, as long as they keep sort of bouncing between the two. Because much like the musical In the Woods, when they get away from their normal lives, it mixes up the dynamics.
Yes.
Whoa. Strange bedfellows over here.
Agony. Anyway,
we're triple threats, and none of them are useful.
Firefly number 14 from Boom Studios, written by Greg Pak and illustrated by Lalit Kumar Sharma. This is continuing the storyline where Mal is a sheriff on a small planet. He has found out that Blue Sky, the corporation that rules everything, is mucking with his planet just like everything else. And meanwhile, the rest of the crew of Serenity is trying to hide, essentially.
Yeah.
This title continues to be great.
Really good. When making Mal a lawman, I think really reinvigorated all the characters. It gave him something to sort of rally around. And I like that we're getting the action from different perspectives in the last couple issues. It's really fun. The art is really nice, too, in this issue. It's a great issue.
I really love the writing in this book. There's one line that really kind of stuck with me after I read it, where it was like, you know, he was like, oh, thank God, you know, spoilers, he got shot. And then it's like, man, look how lucky I am. And the other character's like, you're not that lucky. And it's just like such a cool way to kind of write that and set that up.
The dialogue across the board is so sharp. I enjoy this book quite a bit. And even if you haven't followed Firefly, even if you didn't read the series, it's space western. You can jump right into it and understand exactly what's going on.
Like a Star War.
What's that?
Huh? It's like a battle in space.
No thanks.
But with weapons, with unique weapons.
Oh, okay, that sounds fun. Yeah. I'm back in. Next one to talk about from DC Comics, Deceased Unkillables, number one, written by Tom Taylor and penciled by Carl Mostert. Once again, have to talk about the spelling of this title. It's just very annoying.
Yeah, God. I can tell by the way you read
it. Take your editing cap off and relax with the common people.
I don't like it.
First off, I'd like to say the art also is phenomenal in this book. This is kind of like
really
a
nice
fun
art. I like the story as a lot as well. I think
I was surprised how much I liked
this. The title doesn't bother me. I think you need to deceased and desist when it comes to being bothered by that. But yeah, this is The apocalypse. I mean, it's like Marvel Zombies for DC, obviously.
Yeah, it's the anti-life equation has created these zombies. If you look at a screen, you turn into a zombie. If they scratch you, you turn into a zombie.
That's like real life, too, man. You shouldn't look at screens.
This is following up on a bunch of the heroes, including most of the Bat family, are dead. Here we follow some of the villains who have been side to the story. We also follow Jason Todd as he gathers up people in Gotham City. So presumably they're going to crash together at some point. But yeah, this is super dark, but great.
A lot of jokes in it though, too, which I appreciated. Yeah. Jason Todd writes, he buries Batman and a couple Robins, a couple random Robins. And he writes on the gravestone, Bruce Wayne, son, father, bastard, Batman, which I thought was great. Like really
that
sharp.
That is great. And then he finds the Joker's body and ties him to the front of the car.
Yeah, that was a little over the top.
The Joker killed him, so he's mad.
Sure. I understand that. But like in the apocalypse, you're just going to use him in his old
armor? He says, they're like, Commissioner Gordon, I think, is like,
Commissioner
why are you
Gordon
doing that?
Is great in this. Like he finds out who, you know, Jason Todd and Cassandra Cain, and they're like, hey, you know, and he's kind of like having a moment with all of that. I thought that was really cool.
It's great. The character work throughout here is great. Tom Taylor also writes a great Deathstroke, the way that he characterizes him, so excellent throughout. This is really fun, and I think even if you didn't read the first series or any of the spinoffs, jump right in with this one.
This I find it interesting that the Marvel Zombies, after having done the sort of world comedy, horror, apocalypse stuff, is now going into epic space stuff, and the DC version of it is back in the sort of comedy, horror side of it. So they've sort of switched places.
Ooh.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, do you guys want any podcorn?
I'd love some popcorn.
No, Pete. Podcorn. It's a marketplace for connecting podcasters to sponsorship opportunities.
Wait, Podcorn, isn't that who's sponsoring our show right now?
Sure is, Justin. Podcorn has a great, easy-to-use interface that lets you search for advertisers for your podcast and lets advertisers search for you.
So is there any popcorn or...
Wait, so what's the deal? If I use Podcorn, I'm going to have to spend a lot of time learning about advertising and dealing with financials, which is like a money word, and selling my soul to sketchy, horrible companies that make me feel like I want to die?
No. The opposite of that. I was actually shocked, and I mean this sincerely.
Thanks for being unsincere every moment before this.
Well, it's an ad. Anyway, I took barely any time to set up, and then once I did, it was actually fun to click through and find advertisers that might match well with our podcast. The whole interface is simple and straightforward, even for someone not financially minded like me.
True.
And once you do hook up with an advertiser, like, say, Podcorn,
I'm hungry.
Pete, just
working with them to craft the right ad is supremely simple, too. You don't have to commit to anything you don't want to do, and you can spend a lot less time looking around for advertisers and more time on making your podcast great.
Yeah, so when do we start making this podcast great?
Wow. Anyway, you never give up your rights, and Podcorn is there to help protect you if there are any issues. I really can't recommend it highly enough. And hey, if you want more info, check out the link in our episode description. Once again, that's Podcorn.
Podcorn?
Podcorn.
So is no one else craving popcorn right now?
Pete, come on. Just eat a meal.
All right, next one to talk about, On the Stump, number one from Image Comics, written by Chuck Brown and art by Prezi. This is so much fun. I didn't know what to expect from it.
Yeah.
But it takes place at a weird...
It's all in the title, man. On the stump.
Yeah, I thought maybe...
Oh, wait, but what do you mean by that?
No, I mean, it's super clear what it's about.
Okay,
yeah?
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like you cut down a tree, and then the political people have to fight to the death to see who gets to pass what bills and laws.
Right. It's basically a... It's not even a future. It's like a sideways reality where politics is death wrestling.
Yeah.
Yes.
Essentially. And it's pretty hardcore and brutal throughout.
The end.
Oh, my God.
That was too much.
Oh, that was too much for you?
Didn't like it.
No?
I didn't like it. I was like, oh, I really like this comic. And then it was just like, Jesus Christ.
Well, what did you think about it as a whole?
Did you like the stump, though?
I found the stump to be a little, like, I wanted more rings, cleaner cut. You know, I'm from the woods.
Yeah, I know that about you.
So it's where and that's from whence I will return.
Oh. I knew you had to just...
Well, excuse me?
Yeah.
Do what?
But I did appreciate the fact...
I want to run an election on the stump against you.
Yeah, good.
Me versus
good
you.
Good luck.
Because as Pete said before we recorded, I'm good at sitting down, and Pete struggles with that, so I think I've got him beat.
What did you think, Pete?
I thought it was a fun creative take on something we've seen, and I thought it was interesting.
Something we've seen?
Yeah.
I think this is how elections should go.
Oh, no. Okay.
We haven't seen that yet, except for in your weird, dark fantasies.
Yeah.
I also like how light they are with the premise. They just sort of do it. It's not like... In 2022, people started wrestling, started to become politics, and like we don't need all that. It just gets right into it.
Well, it gets right into it. Also, it very casually, about halfway, two thirds of the way through, is like, oh, back in 2002 when you were doing this. So it's clearly been going on for a while.
Yeah,
which is great. Super fun. Definitely pick that up, but very brutal if you don't want to see gross stuff.
Bernie Sanders would crush at this.
Oh my God. He would. He is
Bill the Burn,
very
bro.
Strong.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't. They haven't seen him with his shirt off, but it's something to see.
I would love to see him with his shirt
really
off.
Really makes me get on my nine iron.
Moving over to a Marvel comic book, Marvel's Voices, number one. It is by a lot of people.
Yes.
Sure is.
This is a spinoff of the popular Marvel podcast that brings in diverse voices, people of color, etc. And here we get a bunch of one-page and several-page stories throughout the Marvel Universe with people who have never written a Marvel comic book before, never written a story before, some old pros. Charlemagne the God is in it.
Yeah, I love that. He also writes himself in, which is a very Charlemagne thing to do.
Yeah. Yep. Also, my former co-worker, Rob Barkman, is on it. He writes the Silver Surfer story, so that was super fun to check out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
As usual, some of the stories are better than others, I think, but what did you think about this book as a whole? What was your favorite story?
I thought it was a great idea, fun to give people a chance to do see what they're going to do if they got a chance to write, you know, in a comic book. So I don't know which one's my favorite. I'm kind of like blanking on that. I think my least favorite was the Snow Queen one pager, but
White Queen.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Pete's a big Hans Christian Andersen fan.
Yeah. As we all know.
Hans.
I like the sort of right at the top, the Wacky Races one, pitting the X-Men, the Krakoan race team versus the Wakanda race team. Mm-hmm. That was very fun. But yeah, across the board is a lot of good little bites. I mean, I want to see more. What about Method Man did a story, Pete?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say?
It's awesome.
All right. I like the Ant-Man story in particular.
Very fun.
That was super, just a good bit.
Yeah.
Like it's Ant-Man and Nick Fury, and Ant-Man's like, hey, over here, I'm over here. And he's just playing with his depth perception because he has one eye. And they just go back and forth. It's a fun one-pager. And one-pagers are not easy to do. So the fact that so many of these worked is a testament to clearly the editorial team worked really heavily with everybody, and they got some good stories out of it. So it's definitely one to pick up and try.
Yep.
Next one to talk about from DC Comics, Batman number 89, written by James Tynion IV, art by Carlo Pagulian, Gillam March, and Danny Mickey. This is continuing the storyline where Batman is going up against five assassins who are working for a secret master called the Designer, who, as we find out in this issue, was given a brief, let's say, by Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman, and Joker. Was that the four?
Yep.
characters in order to destroy Batman. We also found the Joker dead the last issue, but, and this is a spoiler, so 3, 2, 1, spoilers, but the move that I loved in this issue is it turns out that the Joker is running his own thing at the same time this Desire thing is going on.
Classic.
That guy's
joke.
Crazy. He's reckless. Yeah.
But I love that. I love that because it's always like we're reading the comic books and you never think about the fact that everybody's taking turns. Like it's the Riddler does his plot and then Mr. Freeze does his plot and the Penguin does his plot. Of course they'd be like, no, I'm doing my thing now.
Yeah.
And I especially think that's the Joker. So
great. Yeah, it's great.
They got to be on one big text chain, and it's like, wait, how long? When can I get in?
Yeah, did you sign up?
Yeah,
you got to sign up.
They have a doodle.
Yeah,
the Batman kill Batman doodle.
Now serving number 42. I really liked Harley Quinn in this. I thought that was fun.
Beautifully drawn. The Guillaume March art later on, halfway through the story, with Harley Quinn and Catwoman is so nice.
Yeah, it's fun. I also liked the way she was like, "Hey, there's a bunch of stuff going on, but also Joker stuff too." You know, it was a really fun way to kind of like have her explain.
Yeah, that's
it.
What I was saying is I think working that in was good. The characters are great. There's so much danger for Batman throughout here, which
also,
is a very
Batman
hard
upset.
Thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, the Batman Catwoman scene was really cool.
Yeah.
It's using sort of so many elements from what's been happening in Batman lately and then adding on a wild series of new elements and this new character, the designer.
And also Alfred's still not there.
No, he's there. He's well,
Lucius Fox is there. Yeah. He's the new Alfred.
Yeah.
Minus the sandwiches.
I like Lucius because he's sort of a little like funny. He's like joking around. He's not as like drink your soup.
It's too soon, bro.
Have some soup. I made soup.
Yeah, he's always too pushing soon. Soup. Alfred and his soup.
Yeah, but Alfred solves the crimes always by what food he brings out that gives Batman the idea that he wasn't thinking about before.
Here's your Joker soup, sir.
Oh, it was the Joker the whole time.
Yes. I love that that's how you think how food works.
Yeah.
I need an idea for something. Let me eat.
I mean, a lot
sometimes
of
you got
to
walk away from the problem for it to really come to you.
If you eat it, blood goes from your brain to your stomach, away from where your brain, ideas come from.
I just ate, so I don't know what you're talking about. Moving on to another Valiant comic book, Dr. Tomorrow, number one, written by Alejandro Arbona and art by Jim Tao. This is, I assume, another dormant Valiant property that's coming back.
It's waking up.
Yeah. So this is a big old superhero. He is a kid.
Yeah, he's like a young man, and then there's a kid who is also him.
Right. So there's time travel involved.
Yeah, dimensional hopping.
I thought this was kind of a fun, bright book. Like, I appreciated the way the kind of, like, art represented the style of what they were going for. It's just kind of a, like, superhero thing, but, you know, who wouldn't want their future self to show up and be a badass and be like, hey, I need you, man.
Well, let me ask you, would you trust a younger version of yourself as your sidekick? Because that's what sort of happens here.
Ooh, that's tough.
Dr. Tomorrow comes back and gets himself to be his sidekick.
Right. Yeah. The thing, and this is a spoiler for the last page, but the thing that I really liked at the end, they bring in two characters from Fred Van Lente's, what is it, Ivar?
Oh, yeah.
Time Hopper or whatever he's called.
Yeah.
Sure.
Book, which was super fun. Seeing them show up again, having them involved in these time travel shenanigans, really got me on board because I like those characters quite a bit.
This reminded me of a comic from the Ultraverse called Prime.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
About it was a kid who sort of very Captain Marvel style, Captain Marvel from the DC Universe, Shazam, became, but it was like a sort of a body horror version of that. And this feels like something's going to give with the these two characters and it won't be great.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That's how life
works.
Fun
start if you're looking for
out.
A fun kind of all-ages book. Last one to talk about, Undiscovered Country, number 4 from Image Comics, written by Scott Snyder and Charles Soule, art by Giuseppe Camicoli and Danielle Orlandini. And we are continuing the first arc of Undiscovered Country. A bunch of folks have gone into the walled-off United States of America in order to stop a virus that is killing off most of the rest of the world. They've discovered things are insane in America. They're only in the first ring of America. There's a series of rings. They are being tortured by a guy named the Destiny Man and teaming up with a guy who thinks he is Uncle Sam in order to find a door to the next ring. Man, this book is so impressive every issue out of the gate.
It's wild. Yeah. It's just so much going on.
It keeps getting crazier.
And it feels like it feels like it's you're running like 100 miles an hour through the story. So obviously there's a first arc. I really like this book, but I'm excited for them to just sort of chill into the storytelling.
I don't know. There's something I can't quite hook into, and I keep thinking, we talked about this with the last issue, but I feel like I don't know any of these characters, right? Yeah. Like, we meet one an issue through flashbacks, so that's how they're diving in deeper to the characters, that's how they're showing us what's going on with
Lost style.
Lost style. But because it's comic books, because we're not spending an hour with everybody, you don't really get to know them that much, but it's so tense every issue, and the way they pace it out, it still feels like, oh, shit, when they get to the final revelations, even though I have this reaction every issue where I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, I don't completely know what that means yet, but I definitely have that feeling, you know? And because they're just masters of pacing that out in exactly the right way.
And also, like, you're getting to know all these characters, but, like, the main kind of villain who's running the show, you don't really know anything about.
And is he the villain?
Yeah. And how does his antlers, like, they look like ghost glowing antlers.
Oh, ghost antlers.
Yeah. Oh, like his antlers died and they came back to haunt him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be scary. Pretty fucked up.
That's every time I get a haircut, my ghost hair keeps showing up, haunting my head.
Yeah, I mean,
or it's growing back.
If you accidentally, like, hit a deer with your car, you have to walk around with ghost antlers.
What if you hit a deer with your car on purpose?
Oh, that's fucked
up. Why would you do that?
Yeah, why would you do that?
Don't do that.
Why would you do that, Alex?
Yeah,
Alex. Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Why would you
why
do
did I do that?
Exactly. Yeah. Confess.
Don't give us
I know
that population bullshit. Oh, the population is getting out of hand in this country.
Population of deer?
Yeah, that's what hunters say. Well, like, why are you shooting deer? Like, well, the population in this area is out of control, so we're trying to keep it down.
I mean, that's definitely not a real problem.
I mean, actually, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, deer population is wildly out of control. That's one of the reasons why there's so many more ticks.
Oh.
Huh.
There's an uptick in ticks because of deers.
I don't know, but natural selection, man. Let the deers go out of control.
Deer jerky is so delicious.
That's true. The deer will eventually rise up.
Yeah.
Especially.
Bring it.
Especially the what?
That's actually the
plot. Bring it, fucking deer.
You were just like, hunters shouldn't kill deer. And now you're like, bring it, deer. I'll kill you.
Yeah, because deer jerky is delicious.
Okay. You're a very confusing melange of what do you mean?
Of madness.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you all for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we will give you ticks, I think. Also,
tickets.
Tickets, right. That's what I was thinking.
That's T-I-X.
What do you want to plug?
A friend of us on Facebook, so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app
of your choice.
To subscribe and listen to the show, and we'll see you at our production of Into the Woods.
Agony.